We're now 1 month into 2019, and we're preparing to launch into a brand new year of beer and food in Regina, and in the Saskatchewan scene. From upscale fancy food to humble, hardworking fare like food trucks, we're seeing a lot of change in the Saskatchewan and Regina marketplaces. We're also seeing a lot of new neighbors and new businesses opening up in the Warehouse District, including a new brewery, a marijuana dispensary, and just a couple weeks ago, a barbershop. I think it's a pretty exciting time. Mark Heisey is the president and CEO of Rebellion Brewing, but he's also the chair of the Warehouse District Business Improvement District Board. I think he has a unique vantage point for seeing all these new changes and kind of speaking to them and explaining what's going on. And I can't wait to ask him what it's all about. Mark, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy to be here. Back again after the first one.
Couldn't have been that bad.
Nope.
Before we get into talking about Warehouse District and food and all that fun stuff, let's talk about the beer we've got in front of us today. The Hazy IPA.
Absolutely. So Hazy IPA is a thing we've been working on for a while now. This is our third iteration of this beer. The hazy style is becoming a big thing in craft brewing across North America. Sometimes you'll hear it referred to as a New England style. It's hazy. The hallmark is that you have to use a very specific type of yeast that adds some additional fruit flavors, and it doesn't flocculate very well. So flocculate is yeast dropping out of suspension. So there's a lot of yeast in the beer, but this yeast tastes good. So it looks cloudy, but it also adds flavors. The specific yeast we use adds a lot of apricot flavors to it. So it's very different, very unique if you're just used to like the big bitter IPA styles of beer.
When it comes to cloudy beers, are there still misconceptions about cloudiness, or do you think people are wrapping their heads around it?
If you're really into craft beer and you're keeping up with all the newest trends, it's nothing new to see these cloudy beers. But yeah, you know, people traditionally always wanted to see nice clear beer. We're really big about clear beer. Again, it depends what that yeast is actually contributing. A lager yeast does not taste very good, so you don't want that in a lager. Even our regular ale yeast tastes very bitter, very harsh. You don't want that in your beer. That's why we use our centrifuge that, you know, spins all of that, whips all that out, so you just get all the really nice flavors. But a hazy yeast, like a New England IPA yeast, is not that far unlike traditional German Hefeweizen wheat beer yeast, where you want that yeast in suspension because all of the flavor in those German wheat beers is from the yeast. And those flavors are banana and clove. Very distinct, very unique. So sometimes yeast is a good thing, and yeast can add good, tasty flavors. And that's what this beer is kind of about. There's obviously no shortage of hops in it as well. And again, you know, a lot of folks maybe traditionally think of hops as just bitter, but they also have a lot of fruity notes. There's a lot of oil in them. And so again, we've been working on honing and crafting a really, really great recipe that brings out all the fruity flavors without all that bitterness. So when you hear us talking about the beer, we talk about hazy, we talk about juicy, we talk about hoppy, we don't talk about bitter. So it's really finding mass appeal. You'll hear, multinational, they're kind of been the masters of that in this market for some time. And people just talk about, you know, it's like drinking a glass of fruit juice, you know, that sort of thing. So really, really approachable. You're seeing huge uptakes in the market across North America for that style of beer. And you could say that we're chasing a trend. I would say that we've been too darn busy to put the R&D in it, to do it the right way in the way that we're really happy with it. So this is the third batch, like I said, of this one. This is by far the best batch, and what you guys can look forward to in 2019 is I've actually just ordered the can labels for Hazy IPA. So in addition to our regular IPA, we are going to be introducing a second Hazy IPA into the market in cans. Hopefully for March, they'll be ready to roll out the door.
You guys didn't add fruit juice or zest or anything like that because it's super tropical.
Absolutely. That's the feedback. Like I say, people literally say it tastes like juice. I remember the first time my wife had one, and that's what she said. She said, it tastes like juice. I'm like, yeah, I know. And you know, she's quite familiar with most beer styles, you know, the older, more traditional beer styles. So that really threw her for a loop, just based on her reference point. But for new people who have never tried craft beer and they try this, they're like, wow, this is fantastic. It's something they're familiar with, something they can relate to. And so, yeah, just seeing a huge, huge upsurge in popularity for these beers. You don't have to be, you know, an elitist beer snob with an acquired taste and this and that, and you're going to drink your smoked, you know, Viking beer or some weirdo kind of thing, you know, that you and two other people on the planet like to drink, you know. This stuff's pretty familiar and tastes great.
One of the things I've been hearing from people is, oh, it's too hoppy. It's too hoppy. But I think they're confusing hoppiness for other characteristics in the beer. Why does this taste so different if it's so hoppy?
Yeah, so I get really annoyed when people tell me that our beers aren't hoppy enough. We put way more hops into these beers than, you know, most other breweries that I'm familiar with. And when we share information on how much hops we add, there's a big difference between hoppiness and bitterness. As I said, hops can contribute both characteristics. You get more bitterness if you boil your hops in the beer, as opposed to adding them later in the boil or even after the boil in a dry hop or a hop back. The other big difference with our beers, which where some people sometimes say our beers aren't hoppy enough, is because we do only use leaf hops versus the traditional pellet hops. So with a lot of the hazy IPAs that are heavily hopped with pellet hops, is you get a lot of gritty hoppiness. I get it. I can taste it and I feel it in my mouth. I don't like that. It's like enamel peeling bitterness. It's rough, it's raw, it's harsh. Whereas with the leaf hops, it's definitely, it's bold and intense, but it's very soft and delicate. And so if all you're used to is chewing on hop pellets, yeah, you might think that our beer is lame. I don't know, that's your problem. That sounds like a jerk thing to say, but no, it's just different. It's just different. Yeah, understand the nuances of hops. Understand that they change, you know, from freshness once the beer sat around for a while, that the hoppiness dissipates, you know, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, there's always a million and one things to learn about beer. I'm still learning more and more things about beer, but there's a big difference between hoppiness and bitterness, and there's a difference between the character you're going to get out of a pellet hop versus a leaf hop. And, you know, we can argue about the pros and cons of both. But the bottom line is that there's a difference. We tend to like the leaf hops, and sometimes it does stick out like a sore thumb in the market, because we are literally the only brewery I'm aware of in Canada that uses the amount of leaf hops that we do.
One final last word about this beer. I think what's really unique and sets it apart from most other beers that I'm drinking right now is the aroma. It just jumps out and hits me. And I'll admit, I don't have a great nose. I don't smell things the way people with good noses smell. So when I can just go, whoa, that's super fruity, that's super tropical, I know there's a lot of action going on in the glass.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think quickly of the actual hop bill in this IPA, but I think we're using in the ballpark of, now I'm getting off track here. We're using a lot of hops in our regular IPA. I believe we use, I'm having trouble with my math.
I thought it was 16 kilos or something like that. Something insane.
Yeah. Okay. In our regular IPA, I think we use 55 pounds of hops, which is already an excessive amount in a 2000 liter batch. And I think in the hazy one, we're using around 88 pounds. That's getting pretty ridiculous. Again, I actually just saw the newest reports for North America for hop usage. I think in the last 5 years, average hop usage has almost doubled in terms of total beer produced. That tells you just how many people are brewing hazy IPAs, IPAs in general, and just keep cranking up that hop amounts. There's always the curmudgeons that are like, well, it's just, you know, it's this hop, you know, arms race and who can be the hoppiest and this and that. You know, and just kind of viewing it negatively. And it's easy to just kind of jump to those conclusions. But again, it's how you're using them. We're not trying to blow away people's palates with bitterness. It's about creating these bold, bright, tropical flavors. And they're a lot of fun, and I think these beers turn out very, very balanced. Does it taste like Coors Light? No. Does it taste like a traditional IPA that people were brewing 10 years ago? No, it doesn't. This is brand new stuff, and it's cool. You know, as much as I'm kind of set in my ways and I appreciate the old traditional stuff, I mean, there's some pretty awesome, cool new beers coming down the pipe. A lot of them, yeah, no, they're not for me either. I think it's a bunch of nonsense, but these hazy IPAs, when they're done well, are phenomenal. And yeah, we're really excited to help spread the word and the love and the joy of what these beers can be.
2018 was a big year for us. What do you think's going to happen in 2019 for Rebellion? What are you expecting?
2018 was a huge year for us. Largely driven by us, you know, getting into the canning and retail distribution and all that. Massive, massive growth. Great response, you know. But at the same time, when I look at what we accomplished, we're still barely scratching the surface. So for this year, you know, in a lot of ways, we're just going to kind of continue on that momentum. As successful as we were, there's still so many people that have no idea who we are, or they've maybe they had one of our IPAs and they've never drank craft beer before and they thought, oh, that's terrible, I'm not going to drink it anymore. Or maybe they've only tasted our lentil and they're like, that's delicious, what else have you got? Or that was delicious, I can't wait to come and visit the brewery this summer and hang out on the patio and get the full experience. So it's just that natural progression, that evolution. Our market is still very young. The best I can peg it is that the Saskatchewan craft beer market grew from 2% of the overall market to 3% of the overall market last year. So, you know, that's a significant growth, 50% growth year over year. We're still only at 3%, whereas, you know, many other jurisdictions are, you know, well over 10% of the market, pushing 20% of the market. So we're barely scratching the surface. Obviously, it was huge to get our beer served at some of the Rider games. You know, again, it was a smash success, but again, it was a drop in the bucket. Both at those specific games, we were only allowed to serve a certain amount of beer. And, you know, there's so many other events and event centers that, you know, I think we're going to have the opportunity. So one of them that is official and is lined up is the Moose Jaw Air Show. So they're coming, they're relaunching the air show. Used to be around years ago. And again, they have decided that they only want to serve local craft beer at their air show, and we were successful in winning that bid. So that's pretty cool stuff. That's pretty groundbreaking. Again, I would say, you know, 10 years ago that would have never happened. Well, probably 2 years ago that would have never happened. So wow, things are happening at a fast pace. So it's always just exciting to see what's going to be coming next down the pipe. As I already mentioned, we're launching hazy IPA in cans. We've got a pile more of new beers that are going to be coming out in cans. We got a pile more of new cool releases that are going to be coming out on draft only. We're going to be doing some more fruit beers, some fruit sours, all sorts of stuff. We've got some cool new artwork and designs and labels, merchandise, on and on and on. So there's just tons of cool things to look forward to.
What do you think was happening in Moose Jaw, that culture shift towards craft beer?
Unless you're a hardcore beer geek, you know, I can tell everyone that craft beer is big in Portland or in California. If you're not a craft beer geek and you're just, you know, Burton Cummings living in Moose Jaw, it's probably not on his radar, right? But now when there's some breweries down the road like Rebellion or Blackbridge and Swift Current, and they start seeing that product, it's suddenly real for them. And they're like, I know those guys, or I've heard of them, or, you know, I think that's really cool, or I heard that they're using some local ingredients. And yeah, I mean, what's not to like? Again, there's always the hipster backlash against, you know, being into craft beer and all this nonsense. But, you know, that's pretty minor in the scheme of things. There's always people that are ready to embrace that and get behind that, you know. And it just keeps snowball. It's that snowball effect, right? We had huge success when we first launched right out of our tap room, you know, that kind of epicenter, and it just keeps spreading out, you know. We're seeing huge success in Assiniboia. North Battleford really has picked up in the last few months. And, you know, Moose Jaw has, you know, Moose Jaw, when we first opened, I'll be honest, it was kind of a dead zone, and it was a little frustrating. It's the third biggest city in the province. But they really, there wasn't a whole lot of interest in what we were doing. And again, now I think, you know, they're kind of really falling in love with it. What it really usually often takes is you need someone to kind of, you know, be that instigator, be that kind of champion. And so, you know, I am aware of a few, you know, a few of those beer geeks, you know, so to speak, in Moose Jaw, who are, you know, kind of waving the flag and turning all their friends on to what we're doing. So it's cool, you know. And we show up at the air show. We've gone to hung out at the Air Force base in the past. We visit some of the clients there, make friends, this and that, you know. We're all neighbors. We're all in this together. So it's been fantastic. It feels good. It feels good to know that, you know, the Moose Jaw down the street, you know, they always usually talk about the hockey rivalry and how we all hate each other. But, you know, the world doesn't revolve around the Moose Jaw Warriors and Regina Pats as much as we maybe like to think. But we also have a lot in common as well, as opposed to just, you know, not liking each other's hockey team. So, yeah, it's pretty cool stuff.
We're looking at the warehouse district. We're seeing all these changes, new businesses, the barbershop, marijuana shop, a few other restaurants, and now a new brewery. What's going on? What's driving that?
Well, again, I think there's a lot of things. I think it's just the overall cultural shift that you're seeing happening in the city. It's again, you know, people travel, people see things, people see opportunities. And I saw a lot of those things when we chose to set up shop in the Warehouse District. Maybe we were a few years ahead of other folks, but we saw other warehouse type locations in other cities that were just thriving and bustling and had all these great services and breweries and this and that. And it just made sense to me, well, why can't it happen here? And I certainly can't say we were the first, because we were not the first by any stretch. But certainly in the last few years, it's like everyone's just kind of had that similar mindset of wanting to open a business, wanting to be cool, wanting to be different, wanting to set yourselves apart. And those types of businesses kind of attract one another. And so, again, I think we're just barely scratching the surface, but we're finally starting to see that mass of cool services. And a reason to come down and check all this stuff out. There's so many long-term businesses in here, whether there's the cycle shops or the furniture shops or the different gyms and fitness centers. All of that stuff has always been here, and now there's just even more of a reason to come and check it out. You know, whether it's coffee shops or the new barber shop or the breweries and distilleries and all that. You can make a day of it. It's turning into it's literally coming into tourism and shopping. You know, everyone wants to sit at home and order stuff off Amazon, which, you know, sure, everyone does that. But you know what? You can still get out and actually see some cool, unique stuff that you can't find it on Amazon, you know, unfortunately. Sucks to be you. But you can come out and see what's going on.
What's going on with the marketplace in the Weston's Bakery? What's that supposed to be again?
So yeah, Weston's Bakery space is on 8th and Hamilton. It's being redeveloped. It'll be the space for the local and fresh business. So it's going to be a grocery store in the Warehouse District. So we're beating the downtown to that punch of having a downtown grocery store. It's right in the Warehouse District. You should move down here and open a business right next door because of that. And there's also a brewery is planning stages to go in there as well. There's event space. People are already booking their weddings there. Again, most unique space, you know, nothing against all of the other event spaces available in the city. They're all pale in comparison to the uniqueness of the setting in that building. So yeah, again, just come check it out. You want the cookie cutter stuff? You all know where you can go and get that at the big box stores. You want to be a cool guy or gal? This is where you want to be, right in the Warehouse District.
You can get a brick pick.
Exactly, brick pick. You know, I would also, the other real driver that I did want to mention of the Warehouse District, kind of coming of age, if that makes sense, or kind of being reborn, re-energized, would be the staff. And so, I'm the chair of the board, and we did go through a staff transitioning. We previously had a single person working on a part-time basis, and we have added two full-time people. We specifically interviewed and did job ads and whatnot, and I think we hired two of the best people available out there today. So Lisa Gibbons and Dee Kish, they're just fantastic. They're energetic. They're great people. They know this business inside and out. They know how to establish relationships, be that community partner. And they're already turning heads, but they also know that they've just barely gotten started. They have so many ideas. Most of our meetings are usually like, okay, How do we like rein in all of these awesome ideas and like pick one or two? Because there's just so many. Yeah, it's fun to be a part of. I don't know. Sometimes I wonder how I make the time to do all this nonsense, but it's just so much fun. It's kind of hard not to want to be a part of that.
I'm going to shift the feeling a little bit. When people who have left Regina talk about Regina, I feel it's a little unfair. They're talking about a perspective that has changed. Maybe they're bitching about how it used to be, or they're knocking on us, and it's like, fuck you, come down to the Warehouse District and see all the cool new stuff. Come see the new energy and what young people are doing and all the food trucks and the fun stuff like Beak's Chicken. Stuff that we kind of maybe forget to take for granted or toot our horn about.
I think a lot of the people who left, they don't want to admit that they made a mistake. Which, again, sucks to be them. We've still got our homework to do. We've got to tell more of that story of all these great things that are right here in your own backyard. Again, there's still always the backlash. A certain Rough Rider was saying that Regina was boring and Regina sucks. You know, very disappointing to hear that kind of talk. You're not giving it a chance, right? And when you see the people that are out and are active and are embracing things and are being community champions, you know, whether you're even some of the counselors, Joel Murray, Andrew Stevens, Counselor O'Donnell, those people go out and actually experience this stuff. And they're like, this is awesome. These are exactly the things we've seen in other great cities. There's a great story here to tell. And when we do have some other people that are coming to visit our city as tourists, you know, there's people from Vancouver that have come through, people come through from Ontario, people coming through from the United States and around the world, frankly. And they just can't believe the great stuff that we have, you know, they all repeatedly tell us that the stuff that's here is second to none. And it is, you know, and so I think we should be proud, and I think we should be loud and continue to tell people about this stuff. We're a hidden gem waiting to be discovered, and there's still so much more opportunity for the current businesses to grow and prosper, but for many other businesses to join in on the fun. We're just getting started.
I like that we just grab a 4-pack of beer and pop down to one of our neighbors and just say, hey, welcome to the neighborhood. We just wanted to show you some love and have a beer. Happy Friday.
It's so simple. I mean, but it's almost become a forgotten thing to just go and say hi to people and say, welcome to the neighborhood. You can do the same thing on your own block when someone moves in. Like, how hard is that? What is that going to hurt? Are they going to slam the door in your face? Probably not. You're probably going to catch them off guard because they're probably not used to that. But you know what? It goes such a long ways. I think I was always traditionally more of that introverted, you know, kind of nerdy type into math and accounting and this and that, and I still very much am, but just being able to actually, when you start getting into relationships and working together with people and succeeding together and people genuinely care about each other and celebrate other people's successes, I mean, accounting is important, but you can't put a value on that type of stuff. It's basically just friendships and partnerships and community growth. It's powerful. And it's contagious, and it literally doesn't cost anything.
What you're saying sounds to me what I see Leo's group doing, the Leopold's Pubs, the way they talk to people, the way they market themselves. When you look at their social media, it feels like you're saying what they put into practice.
Absolutely. You know, we've been friends with those guys for a long time. There's texts going back and forth about this or that, and congratulations on opening up in Victoria. Actually, you know, I was recently, we were in Victoria in the fall doing some R&D on some potential brewery expansion, and we were sitting in a pub and in walked the Leo's guys. And it was just kind of that serendipitous type of a thing. And it was Loa. And we kind of looked at each other and said, well, what are you doing here? And they kind of looked at us and said, well, what are you doing here? You know? And of course, they've since announced that they are opening a pub in Victoria. So kind of cool. You know, but it's nice to be able to do that, you know? And we made friends and introduced them to who we were all with and all that sort of stuff. And again, you can't be nothing but happy for other people. They're eager, they're hungry, they have good ideas, they have a great brand, and they're successful. How can you not champion that?
It's a little taste of Saskatchewan that now you can find in Victoria.
Absolutely. And people want to, again, you know, we're filling a void, you know, again, for such a long time, Regina, you know, there has been that negative connotation and Regina sucks and this and that. And there isn't much of a brand. And, you know, there isn't, you know, a whole lot of cool branding and merchandising and marketing. So now, you know, people like Leo's and people like us are filling that void, and you're seeing people doing selfies, you know, climbing mountains in wherever, South America, wearing Leo's gear. That's literally saying Regina, right? And that's pretty awesome, you know, and it's not a knock against government or branding or tourism. It's just saying that other businesses are willing to, small local entrepreneurs are willing to step up and say, I'll wave the flag, I'll wave that banner, I'll say that Regina is cool. And we're doing it and we're having success, you know, and the Experience Regina campaign, just a whole other thing there, you know, it's taking on its own life of its own.
What the hell happened with Experience Regina? How did that come to be?
Well, I remember being a hardworking government bureaucrat, and I was searching the internet one day. That was the only time I was ever spending time searching the internet while I was a government bureaucrat. And I found this video. It was probably about 8 years ago or so, this Experience Regina video. And of course, I thought it was quite funny and soon forgot about it. But of course, it came back to light just over a year ago or so. Jay and Dan, originally sports guys, started, you know, playing it. And then, of course, it was on Jimmy Fallon. And, you know, again, you know, don't kick a gift horse in the mouth or something like that, you know. Run with it, right? You know, some people say, oh, they're making fun of Regina. Well, I don't think so. Maybe in some ways. But, hey, it's better to be talked about than not be talked about at all. You know, there's a whole book, The Purple Cow, this and that. You know, Rebellion, that's how we kind of view ourselves. We'd rather have people talking about us than not saying anything. If no one's talking about you, you're in a lot of trouble. And I think, you know, that's where Regina had kind of fallen into, you know, over the years, is just they weren't on anyone's map. It wasn't on anyone's radar. And so whether it's Experience Regina, whether it's Regina being noted as the 23rd best beer city in the world, like stuff like that, people are talking about us. And it's because of Rebellion, and it's because of Leo's, and it's because of Experience Regina and Justin and Greg and this and that. You know, I don't think it's because of anything else. That's the stuff that's making it happen. I don't see any other reason why. That's pretty cool.
Here's a big money question. Should we have a Deadpool statue downtown?
We absolutely should. You know, there's all sorts of things to commemorate and acknowledge, and we want to, you know, be proud of the good parts of our history, of course. But, you know, just have some fun with it. Life's too short. You know, if you're uptight about a Deadpool statue, man, I don't know. Doesn't sound like anyone I want to hang around with.
Bold predictions for 2019. If you have to say, what do you think is going to happen in 2019 for Regina?
My bold prediction, you know, is I think we've a lot of the groundwork has been laid. There's been a lot of, you know, kind of back and forth and animosity around different things, or just getting things started, whether it's, you know, getting the cannabis stores up and running or getting some of the breweries up and running, you know. There's now some momentum. There's some mass momentum, you know, and there has been some negative feedback over, you know, whether we should have cycle lanes or whether we should have a crosswalks or this or that. But I think a lot of that nonsense has kind of been put to bed. And now everyone's like, we know what we need to do. We know where we need to get to. Now's the time to just do it. Let's just blow open the doors and make things happen. You know, and there's always challenges and things don't maybe move as fast as you want them to, but the time to debate those types of things are over. It has to happen. It's time for action. It's time for change. The city has heard a lot of resounding feedback on all sorts of issues, and it's exciting because I think in the past they haven't gotten a whole lot of public feedback other than from the cave people, the citizens against virtually everything. You know, you're actually hearing from people that are positive and are energized and want to see great things happen. I've never seen that in the history of our city. That's fantastic. That's fantastic stuff. And people are kind of holding government accountable, saying these are the things we expect and want and demand in our city.
It's going to be an awesome 2019.
Absolutely. Nothing but good things to look forward to.
Well, Mark, I want to thank you for coming on the show today.
Hey, it was good. I like it. You got me on a roll there. It's always fun.
Rebels, thank you for tuning in this week. If you want to find more about the latest news with Rebellion Brewing, be sure to check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Untappd. And thank you for joining the Rebellion.